What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees. Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. Man, Larry here with X. We fresh off family day, man. You know, this used to be a funner day. Back in the day, it was like an event. I used to take signing day off and like chill. Real life. I used to chill like with a couple of my coworkers in the college football, real heavy back home in Savannah, and we'll go pull up at this bar. And we'll just sit down and drink, man, and just watch the names roll in, the announcements roll in, see who classes, you know, was coming out on top at the time. This was years ago. So one of my friends, big Georgia fan, one a big Florida fan. So we all sitting there together. And Miami never won none of them competitions. We still ain't. We beat Florida. But we still ain't got Georgia out the way just yet. But yeah, it's a different day and age, but it feels fun to me, man. How you feeling signing day coming around, man?
I've been doing this for the longest. Signing day was always an eventful event for me. But now, I guess I'm not gonna say it took the fire out of it, but the fact that most of the kids who do sign on this day try to be early enrollees, so I guess. That's the fun part, you know what I'm saying? And knowing that the kids would be early enrollees. It's just, you know, that signing day that was in February was like, okay, man, you know, like you say, but everybody gonna take the day off, you know, vibe, have a party, whatever. And, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, no, I'm looking at Miami class, man. I think we have one of the, we're top 10. I didn't even look at the list, but I think we're
top 10. Yeah, we're 10 right now. I don't think anybody gonna be able to move us. Michigan was kind of close, but I think they needed a couple other guys to sign, and those guys signed elsewhere. So we pretty much cemented at number 10.
Yeah, I mean, I like the class. I like everything. You know, I'm only two positions I was really like not excited about. But you know, at running back we got Mallory, mm-hmm. and I love him. I just thought we should have added somebody else. Then linebacker, although we did get. I keep messing up these kids.
Carson Bush.
Yeah. I like him. I just thought we could have done a better job of getting other linebackers that was out there. So just those two positions, you know, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I like those two guys at the positions, but I just felt like we could have got better. But other than that, I'm loving the class. From quarterback to you see the receiver group we have, the tight ends. The offensive line, we got three guys on the offensive lineman who can possibly play next year.
Man.
and when I mean possibly play, I mean I know one is definitely going to play.
Yeah.
The other one, I'll speak about him a little later. I think he could play also. And then looking at the defensive line, we win if we finally start getting some big boys in the middle.
Yeah.
We always, like, every year we always get, like, maybe one or two. So yeah. This year, I think we got like four
D tackles.
Yeah, we got four big boys in the interior, and the thing is, they athletic, and they can move. I don't think they ready to play because a lot of them are like 290, undersized. I think maybe one is probably like 300 plus, but yeah. You still want to get them right in the college, get them in the right
strength and conditioning.
Yeah, strength and conditioning program. Yeah.
Get that good muscle on, lose any kind of shed, any baby fat.
These some grown niggas in college, man. I told the kid, mom, the other day, I said, listen, man, your son, 17, 18, he going to be going to college this year. I say, don't expect him to be dominant like he was in high school because he playing against niggas at 25.
Man, come on.
He's a grown niggas. These man, grown niggas. About cats.
Still looking for that dream. Still chasing that dream, man. Yeah, for real. they got kids, mortgages. This is a different game then, man. You ain't talking about just some young boys out here, you know, worrying about their little girlfriend. You talking about, man, I got two kids, man. I got two kids, a mortgage. You know what I'm saying? My mama needs some money right now. It's a different ball game dealing with them.
Yeah, man.
Overall class, I think me and you feel similar. Like, I felt like a good success in general. I think we did a great job playing defense. We went 29 for 29, and then you count Carson Bush, who was the 30th addition to this class. I think it's the largest Miami class ever.
No, it can't be. I think the largest had to be, I think it was 1 year with Al Gore. No, was it Randy Shannon.
I think. Randy Shannon. I had to check. I thought I heard that somewhere. That's all I'm saying, I think.
I think 1 year Randy Shannon had like 30. He had to be like 30-something. That might be the class that was the number one class in the nation that year.
Really? Yeah, that'd be a good look. I'd check that out real quick to see if it was that. I mean, I thought we did good defense. And part of that, you know, people don't understand, I think, another factor that the reason you have a little less to worry about with some of these last minute flips is a lot of paperwork already in place for a lot of this stuff. So it's not as not as much kind of hanging in the balance. Now, some of these kids, you know, you had like Chris Henry Jr., Lamar Brown, I think Jace Matthews, he ended up flipping from Auburn to Ole Miss.
Auburn to Ole Miss, yeah.
But those other guys, they ended up signing with their original schools. And I think it was kind of like Jeremiah Smith, right? And you know, some Canes fans got excited. And I think we got excited this year, too, a little bit with like Lamar Brown. We didn't get that splash guy this year. Like last year, I think it was Hayden Lowe, even though I think our fan base underrated that actual commitment. I don't think they understood until spring came around and you was hearing how much of a man he is. Like, he's getting Reuben Bain type praise, and it's like, oh shit. And you know, Mario ain't gonna just keep that on just anybody. Like, then they started to really realize what kind of a get that was. But unfortunately, he was hurt this year. But yeah, no major surprises in a positive way, but also the good thing to me was there wasn't no major surprises. Like, damn, we lost somebody. There was a couple of guys, I think our D tackles took a little bit towards the middle of the day to get signed.
Yeah. Besides that, like, the only guy we did lose was Anthony Kennedy, which we all knew he was going
to lose. And that was a drop like a week ago. So,
They
called it a mutual parting of ways like a week ago.
And so that's cool. Like, yeah, I'm happy with the DB class. Our DB coaches did a hell of a job. I'm looking at the weakness that we used to have years ago. You know what I'm saying? DBs, we just couldn't. You know what I'm saying? Now we're starting to recruit DBs better. We're starting to get the big boys in up front. Mario and I'm doing that job. I expect the portal to be aggressive again. And people keep saying, oh, you know, keep letting the young boys develop and play. Listen, man, that day and age is done, man. I love the recruiting these high school kids, but guess what? If I see me a grown nigga out there that can come play for me a year or two,
yeah.
Hey, what's up?
I think day and age is done, and I think that's what people are getting a little falling behind. Like, number one, the margins between the top class and the number 10 is thinner than it's ever been, meaning we got a lot more parity. The talent pool is being spread out, right? Number one. Number two, you have to, and, you know, I know X, you done chimed in on this and kind of try to get people to understand this. And I think it's going to take them another couple of cycles to really understand. You have to factor in your transfer portal class. We had an excellent transfer portal class. Look at what we brought in. Look who contributes. You know, even if you look, just look at Ethan O'Connor, who Georgia wanted, who could be starting for plenty of schools. He played quality snaps with us. Like, he's out there getting plenty of burn. That's a recruit. You know, and he's a young guy, too, with multiple years left. So, you know, look at Jacoby Thomas. Yeah, look
at Jacoby Thomas, multiple years ago. Boyger was just a sophomore, so he's back next year.
We got several years with these guys.
Lucas was just a sophomore. He's back again next year. So, yeah, you keep thinking, like, the portal class. And I get it. You don't want to make it count as a recruiting class. I still get the fact that everybody wants to say, oh, well, you know, we had a better recruiting class here. Cool.
Right.
No problem. You know what I'm saying? Let's get the players to help us on the field right now.
Right. That's just old school thinking. Like, you want to say we had the number one class. I think USC wanted to say we got the number one class. So they paid out the ass to have the number one class. They trying to turn the image around of that school, right? Because they always call them the Miami of the West. They, same thing, had a lot of greatness, you know, some success in the 2000s, some amazing players that came through there, rich history, major city, right? Very, very similar to what we do. And they program for quite some time has been, you know, mediocre, middling, to definitely not meeting the expectations. I think for the optics, especially with Lincoln Riley kind of not meeting their expectations so far, they wanted to say we got the number one class. And that's a good, like, sexy look, right? But we lost some guys to USC because our school is looking at the budget differently and going, nah, we can't pay that kid that much money. You know, I get it. He's you know, the number two offensive tackle, the number three offensive tackle, you know, the number two tight end. And we like them. We think they are super talented. But we ain't seen it yet. Not at the big boy level, like you were saying earlier. It's grown men out here now. It's a little bit different now. We think he will be, but they're saying won't pay that much. Not for that. I'd rather go look at a guy who's out there playing college football with other grown men. Even if it ain't at the sexiest of schools, it's like, nah, but y'all don't understand. These are D1 athletes. These are Power Four school players for the most part. And even when we went down to Jacksonville State to get Poison, he got better and better and better as the year went along. He was a great investment. He's a guy that can start for us the next 2 years. And we needed some help back on the back end. You have to start looking at it like that class is just as important, if not more, than your recruiting class. Look at Texas Tech. Texas Tech ain't got no recruiting class. Even this cycle, I don't believe. I have to look at it real quick. But look what they did in the portal. Now they're the number, what, 4-5 team in the country right now?
Yeah.
All because they went and bought it.
Pay the players that you need right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, love you. So, right. They wanted to get on the map now. They had a booster. My man, he used to play for them. He rich as hell. And he like, man, I'm tired of my school looking like this. So this is what we finna do. Bottom line, we about to buy the team. And it worked. They bought a team that can compete for a national title this year. You know?
Yeah, man. So
you look at the recruiting class right now. Let me see. I'm looking right now. They are number 19 with 20 commits.
Yeah, 27 is the 27 is the class that they trying to make number one for high school. Because they are going to emphasize recruiting high school, just like all the top programs in the nation.
Yeah,
but sure. you know what? Listen, you to jump start it, they went to the portal. You know what I'm saying? And then they just
get winning.
They're gonna continue to keep going that factor, man. So
it is what it is, man. Because they want to win now, and that way you can show these kids, hey, look, we can win at Texas Tech. Because it's like that's what a lot of these kids, you know, even for Miami, that's what Mario got to sell to them now. Like first he got here, he's selling the dream. Hey, man, if you come with me, we could do some great things. And you got people like Miley Noah and Bain that bought in. Thank God. And then what happened? We went out there, you know, and we built. Now you got back-to-back 10-win seasons. You got two guys that'll be going in the first round of the NFL draft. And they didn't have to come here. You know, Bain could have went to Bama. Miley Noah could have went to wherever, same thing. Either one could have went wherever, right? Now these kids need to see some winning, and that's what we've shown them. So now you can sell these kids right now on, oh, wait, you can win it, Mike. I thought that was just old school shit they used to been talking about. Now he's showing we can win, and now you can sell, we winning, but we need you to get to the mountaintop. And that's how things change. Everybody's got their own strategy. I think Miami's doing a remarkable job at strategy. I think we do a great job high school recruiting. I think we do a great job evaluating and then deciding, all right, this is how we will supplement it with the portal. I think our evals are pretty top notch and it's helping put together, you know, a hell of a program right now.
Yeah, so, we did a good job. I mean, you know, ever since Mario got, he's been doing a good job of bringing in the talent. And, you know, me and you always talk about it, you know, about, yeah, you know, Miami's recruited good always, but we haven't brought in the right type of talent. You know, right, we just was bringing in niggas who was just, oh, they good in high school. But
yeah, we had paper talent.
Is it going to translate to college? Is it going to translate to the pros?
Right.
And then that goes where, you know, the interview that we did with Andrew Ivins, and he was like, well, listen, they project these players to the NFL, and that's where you see it. Because, like I keep telling people, I say, man, if you recruit kids and they're not going to the NFL, that means you ain't doing a good job. So, yeah. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, the goal is going to the NFL. I don't want to hear about this. Oh, well, they was this and this in college. I get it. Yeah, but the goal is to go to the NFL. So yeah. If you're recruiting the guys to go to the NFL, trust me, you're going to have a pretty good team if you do that. So just look at what Mario did, man. Like you say, back-to-back 10-win seasons. Going to have 2 first rounds this year.
If not more.
Teams are saying, yeah, Miami got the talent. It's going to be, you know, we're not going to have, like, one player get drafted and then everybody else go on free agent.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Quite a few players get
drafted. We can get 10 again this year. I'm not naming them right off the top of my head, but I think we did 10 last year. I think 10 is a reasonable, realistic number again to expect this year. And then again, this year, I think we have 2 first rounders. So the optics continue to get better. I think Mario's been real good. Like, when it comes to coaching, I can't ask more of any coach of mine than to change and adjust to what's going on around you. I think we saw a change after the SMU game as far as like how we just ran our offense, how we try to call it. Let's loosen up. We saw, hell, every game now Malachi Toney lining up in Wildcat. You know, he done threw 3 touchdowns. Like, and he mentioned it. He said we want them to cut loose. Well, us as coaches got to cut loose too. Like, we have to bring some fun element to it and make it where it's like, hey, man, we better than them. Let's go have some fun. We ain't got to be all uptight and, everything he's ever done poorly, he's addressed. From getting the time management, guy to help him out. People laugh. I'm like, well, what's funny about that? If I can afford it, it's in my budget, and there's somebody to help me be the best I can be, makes sense. So salute to him for everything he's done. I think he's done an excellent job with this program. I wouldn't want nobody else coaching this program as of right now. I just don't make no sense to me. But let's look at we'll do a quick glimpse. I mean, y'all already seen the class. Again, number 10. But we're just going to go over a couple of our favorites and a couple of guys we got maybe some expectations out of this first year round, where we think they may end up being contributors for this team. So I'll kick it off. I'm going to start with our favorite offensive recruit of this cycle. Last year I went with Brock Schott, and anybody who know me will tell you, like, when it comes to football, my favorite offensive position has always been the tight end. So I'm going to always be biased towards that particular position. And on defense, it's safety. And I'm more of a defensive guy. But in this particular cycle, man, I think my favorite commit would be Gavin Mueller. I think he was a late riser. Like, you'll see, he's committed to Colorado. He is a 4-star, but he hadn't been playing football a long time. Kind of reminds me of like what we were getting with Jackson Carver, but this guy way more polished as an actual football player right now than Jackson Carver was and is probably to this day. I expect him to be a guy that will jump Carver in the depth chart already if Carver, is to hang around and continue to want to, play football at Miami. I think that Gavin Mueller is a guy that is my favorite. I don't know if he'll be like a right away impact guy, because I think we're pretty decent at tight end with his returning cycle, because you'll bring back Elijah Lofton. Brock Schott will have another year under the system. We'll see what he could kind of develop. I think he'll be like Elijah Lofton, the second coming as far as his usage. And then I think, I always forget bro name. I love him. Luca. Was it Gilbert, right? Big 88. I always forget.
Talking about the big tight end?
Yeah, I always forget his damn name. I love the kid too. Yeah, Luca Gilbert. I always forget his damn name. He's huge. He gets snaps now. He looks smooth to me right now. He already looks like he got the body type and the strength. I think getting the playbook more, and understanding the system again another year, I think he gives us a lot of security at that spot. But yeah, Mueller, just watching his tape once we got him to commit, and knowing like, all right, Bama was in the mix, I was like, let me check out bro film, and I just see I see what they like. I see a lot of raw talent, some fluidity. He's already 255. I think they got him listed at like 6'5", I want to say. 6'5", 255. Yeah, just a kid that's already, to me, ready to probably contribute at some level. And definitely a guy that I think in 2 years will be a guy we can kind of lean on. Who's your favorite offensive commit in this?
My offensive commit is actually Joel Irvin.
Yeah, Joel Irvin. Yeah.
Marlon, I think he. I think he could. Like I was saying, I think we have three offensive linemen that could probably play next year. He's definitely one of them, man.
I can see it.
Especially we might lose tackles. So, yeah, he's like that. You know what I'm saying? They evaluated him. He was committed to Louisville. They evaluated him, got him to flip. Yeah, he's my offensive guy.
Yeah, he his tape. Yeah, I couldn't believe he was three. The minute I saw his tape, I'm like, they tripping. They did flip him and move him up quite a bit. But for him to have ever been three stars, to me, was crazy. The first time I saw this dude tape, I'm like, what y'all looking at? This kid ain't nothing to play with, man. He moved up the 211th in the country, 11 in this position. So, he's up there with the top tackles in the nation. But it didn't start that way. It took him a little minute to pay his respect, bro. I agree. I think he can be a starter next year, too. Just depending on how our O-line shakes up. I kind of think Markell Bell will come back, and then we'll see what they do with Cantwell, if they want to do him kind of like Maui Noah and put him right there on right tackle right out the gate. We'll see how all that ends up shaking out. But, that's a good answer. I think defensively, I'm going to have to go with – I'm bouncing back and forth now in the last second. Now I'm like, I kind of want to go this way. I want to go there. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with De'Anthony Lafayette. I like the fact that, like, he's kind of that undersized guy, but he's just, like, hella productive. He reminds me of, who's the guy at Oklahoma right now? He played for Oklahoma right now, and I'm pretty sure he out of Florida. His damn self. He's that undersized edge guy that just gets to the down. He gets to the quarterback, man. He's just a slasher edge guy. I'm forgetting his name right now. But when I see that in Lafayette, I see why they went for him. Because if you look at him, he's not your prototypical edge, right? But knowing how Heatherman likes to use, like a stand-up DN, he would absolutely fit that role and can eat, man. I think of kind of like a Lightfoot role, be doing a lot of that same stuff. And I think
Lafayette and actually Charles, I think those two are going to be some.
Yes,
the Charles. They're going to attack the quarterback because they both probably similar in stature.
Yep.
Both athletic enough to run. My defensive guy would definitely be Jordan Campbell, a local kid. And he's probably going to put his hand in the dirt, which he needs to. He's vicious. He coming. Yeah. He wants to tackle you and rip your head off. So I love that, especially if it's playing on my defense. So I'm like, okay, I love that.
You might know a little bit because I know you keep your finger on the pulse. It was funny to me. They kept saying like how he was still committed. And I think it's because he was committed so long. Did it feel to you like that was ever really shaky with Miami, or it was just?
Nah.
Yeah, I didn't
it
think
was,
so
it either. Was always Miami, man. But he committed when he was in the 10th.
Right.
So
right.
He committed early. And you know how they go. You commit in the 10th, man, and then they start saying, hey, boy, these other schools start looking at you.
Right.
You're like, well, let me take these visits. Then here you go. Oh, well, Miami commit is going to visit such and such. Okay, what's the big deal? I committed when I was in the 10th grade. I can't.
Right, you're just having some fun,
what
man.
What you want me to do?
Oh, I know who I was thinking of real quick. R. Mason Thomas. That's who I was thinking
of.
Yeah, he reminded me of him in that same kind of role. But go ahead.
His recruitment was never in doubt, not in my head. I already knew it was a Miami lock. No, but yeah, he just was like, man, I can commit in the 10th grade.
Yeah, have some fun.
Hey, yeah.
I don't have that rule, especially if you commit that. I don't like kids committing that early, but the fact that he did and never decommitted and then just went out and just, you know, hey, why not go see a couple of campuses, man? Make sure you really, really want to do this. And if not, even if you ain't shaky, go get the free food. Go get the you know, five-star treatment, man, and the, you know what I'm saying? Just live it up for a few days, 3 days. They treat you like royalty. Why not, man? Because once you get to football and start playing football, all that shit going anyway. So you might as well enjoy it right now. All the kiss-ass part, that'll go away once you sign that paper. So I got no issue with that at all. All right, let's see. What was my other question I had? Guy that we think is probably the most slept on in this class. I would go...
slept on? Ooh, that's... That's, I think it's for offense, it got to be Mallory.
Mallory, thanks. Yeah, I can see that.
Because they don't talk about him as much as they wanted to talk about Cooper.
Right, which is funny because Alabama in the mix, UNC in the mix. I'm like, and I like his tape too. He sat out a little bit this year with some injuries, but when he plays, it's like, okay, I get it. I agree with you. I think that is a guy that, oddly enough, I think it's because he never got the fourth composite star. So he never did that extra little bump. And that's what I think people get caught up in, like, oh, not enough stars. And it's like, I don't know, man. It might be a real ball player there. I'm going to go with J.J. Edwards. I know what you were saying about the linebackers. I do agree. I would have liked at least one more in this cycle. Just because you need the bodies. You ain't going to hit on all of them. So you got to try to make sure you got a few bodies in the cycle. And a linebacker for us next year can be, you know, we got to figure a few things out. I don't know what exactly we'll roll out, but Saint could be gone. Torrey will be gone.
I know that damn Kevin Wiley got to be one of them. Because if he's not,
I'm pretty sure about Wiley. Saint and Popo. But then, you know, we played four linebackers pretty decent rotation this year too, so
I think maybe what 4 or 5 because you had Popo, yeah. Torrey, Wesley, Chase Smith,
yeah, that's the 4 I was thinking about.
Okay, yeah, 4.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty sure it might have been a 5th that got a little burned, but those, we went pretty steady with those 4 guys, so that means you got to be ready. We're gonna run 4 linebackers, generally.
Yeah, and I think all 4 of those guys would be gone, right? Chase is gone. Wesley Popo is gone. Will be back. Oh, yeah. Popo will be back.
Popo will be back. Okay. So yeah. It might be Popo and Kellen. But again, I think Justin Edwards, you know, J.J. Edwards could have an opportunity to, and he reminds me of old school Kane linebacker. He's not like as much of these, you know, what you want in that, your prototypical 6'2 to 6'4, really fast, rangy guy. But he is fast and rangy. He just don't have the length and the arms.
Almost kind of like, I'm gonna say Denzel Perryman. I was gonna say John Beeson.
I like that.
Beeson was just.
I like Perryman.
Yeah,
Perryman's still in the league.
Yeah,
Perryman's still in the league. You know what I mean? That was one of my favorite Canes players, man. The president, man. Yeah, Perryman, man, a punisher, man. Ah, he'd be one of my favorite players, man. Remember they gave him the flag for doing the push-ups?
Yeah, doing the push-ups because he dropped the interception.
Because he dropped the pit, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, I think people not giving him his just due, and I think he could be a guy that might surprise some people. Think kind of like Shavers. Remember Vincent Shavers?
Yeah.
I don't know how that situation kind of unfolded. I don't know if it was like they kind of backed off of him a little bit, or
yeah, they backed Miami completely backed off. They thought when we got we was going to flip the kid from Florida, which we ended up flipping. They thought that was going to be.
As the replacement, the upgrade. You know what I mean? So, and then Shaver's been out there doing his thing, man. Haiti got to do it in Nebraska where football goes to die. But, you know, hey, we might need a linebacker in this cycle. Might try to woo him back home. Might try to see if they
can get him back home. Come on home. Shaver's, man. Come back home.
Hey, tax him, too. Tax him. Get your money. Make sure they pay you right. Yeah, you got to pay a little extra disrespect tax. You got to pay that.
Today's price isn't today's price.
Yes, sir. All right. And then the last thing, want to get off was just the guy that we think can probably see the field, you know, the quickest and most impactfully, not named Jackson Cantwell. So I think you kind of get told yours already, which I think is a great answer. I don't know if you want to give another one.
Oh yeah, the one guy I think who could probably play a lot, play fast, is probably the JJ. How you pronounce his name?
Dunnigan.
JJ Dunnigan.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna most likely play safety, and that's gonna be a position that we lose. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna lose two safeties. So you're looking for safeties to come in and play. He has the body.
His father played at Kansas State.
Yeah, he has all of the gifts and the tools, man. Like, if you was creating a football player, if you was creating, right, he has that. You know what I'm saying? Now, the one thing I did, you know, like I was telling others, I was saying, listen, I want to see how he do in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Miami ain't for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Miami not for everybody. But I just want to see, like, how he interacts with Miami, where he focused on football, and then it's like, all right, let's get to work. But other than that, man, he looks like every bit of the player that you want right now. Yep.
Absolutely. Actually, that was my guy as well. I think Dunnigan, again, for the same reason you said, I think we'll just have an opportunity. But since you went there, I will pivot to Samarion Wingo. A guy that jumped a lot right out the fringe, almost, you know, he was number 50 player nationally, number 7 in his position, number 6 in the state. You know, losing Marion, losing Daniels, we'll be bringing back obviously Tony. You know, Josh Moore got a little action this year. I think he'll see more next year, but I don't know if it's so sold up that, you know, a guy like Wingo won't. We got to see what goes on with JoJo. You know, if he continues to solidify himself in this lineup.
Well, remember that receiver core was really young. And
yeah, right.
So you're losing Tony, you're losing CJ, you lose Marion.
You ain't losing Tony.
Huh?
You said Tony. We ain't losing Tony.
No, not Malachi Tony. Tony Johnson.
Oh, Tony Johnson. I was like, don't say that.
Yeah, Tony Johnson. Gotcha. Nah, baby. Listen, I don't call him Tony. I call him Baby Jesus. I call him what he is.
Baby Jesus. Okay. All right. Jesus,
you know what I'm saying? I'm
like, so, what?
You know, we're losing three receivers. And, you know, as crazy as people say, you know, the receiver room was really kind of thin. You know what I'm saying? Because once CJ and then Tony Johnson got hurt, he was like, oh, boy, so y'all playing JoJo. Y'all got to play more. Now we got to play Upshaw. After that, it was like, boy, what y'all finna do if somebody else get hurt? You know what I'm saying? So,
and shout out to them for doing their, you know, thinking their opportunity.
They did their thing. You know what I'm saying? They did their thing. I think the only receiver I know for a fact that's probably going to end up transferring is Nykar. But other than that, you know, you bring in those four guys and let those four guys come in and play.
Yeah. I think, man, if y'all haven't watched Wingo's tape, this was D-Rob's guy. He was high on him the whole time. He was like, man, we gotta get Wingo. I don't know why we wasted time, you know, kind of chasing like Tristan Keys, you know, other guys out of state. And he's like, man, we're going to end up messing up with this kid. And I think his senior year, you know, shout out to them too. Another thing that the staff done a great job is senior evaluations. I think he was a good junior. I think he was a great senior. Took it up.
He skyrocketed up. Yeah, he
jumped the most.
They talk about he's like a top 5 receiver.
In the recruits. Right. Like I said, I think he's technically 6.
Yeah, if you go off production-wise, he's there. If you go off production, he's there. He's there.
He's just ranking, right? But, yeah, he's skyrocketing, man. And now the other thing, a lot of our players think, you know, shout out to the senior evaluations, had really good jumps in the final evaluation from 247, which helped boost our class as well, if you care about those numbers type thing. That's all, man. Oh, D-Rob did give me his answer. He wasn't able to pull up tonight, but I'm gonna give his answers out real quick before we wrap. For the offensive signing, he went with Israel Briggs. I think he's a guy that, yeah, I kind of forgot about. Early four-star kid. He didn't move a lot, I think, really wise, because he needed to get his weight up. So it's kind of hard to project exactly how much he's going to fill out and be a true, you know, tight end. Of course, he'll be a flex-type tight end. But another guy I know he was high on was Keyshawn Stancil. Like XL, another big boy in the middle.
He's gonna be like that. Just probably add 20 more pounds.
Exactly. And that was the thing. I looked at all those guys you're talking about. Everybody's like 275, 285. So no, we're not dealing with a lot of bad weight. You're dealing with guys you can build up, put 20 pounds, 25 pounds over, and it'd be good weight. Yeah. Let's see who you got for most underrated. He went Joel Irvin, which, I mean, I kind of echoed that sentiment too. I think he moved up a lot, but like I said, I think it's kind of hard to. I think he got to be top five tackles, just from what I've seen. But maybe, you know, I ain't seen everybody, and I'm gonna be a little biased, so I can give you that. And
I'm with you, and I've seen a lot, man. So, but
he's athletic, man. You know what they call a dancing bear. Big man move, man.
Yeah, listen, I'm not sure what Marquise Bell gonna do, but you know you need the right tackle, so we already know the right tackle spot probably is most likely gonna be Cantwell. And then if you lose Bell, you know what I'm saying, now you need another tackle. And I'm not saying we gonna play two true freshmen, but I'm just letting you know that, man, this guy is good enough to play right now.
Yeah, about to say, if you beat him out, you're gonna beat him out. And that's just the bottom line. I don't necessarily think he will, because we got some talent there. But a lot of these guys are playing inside as well. So they may decide that, like, their future is to just stay inside, and that's where they can make their money at. Like a McCoy, right, who we kind of brought in. But, right, he might just be like, you know what, I'm excelling here. Scouts like me here. I'll stay here and earn my money at this spot. Tackle pay more. Obviously, but you also got to be realistic about your expectations on the next level. So, and he put most likely to see action was JJ Dunn again too. So we kind of all was in unison on that one. But anyway, man, that was it. Didn't want to hold too long, man. Just want to kind of go over the recruiting class, signing class. Thought you did an awesome job. Salute. Salute the staff, everybody involved. You know, from the people tapping the right shoulders to making the phone calls, the text. Thank y'all, did an awesome job, man. Salute to everybody involved there. Before we get out of here, it's fuck Notre Dame one more time. Ball sent in a little chat. Forever. Like, I kind of forgot how much I ain't fuck with them until this season. And I was like, I can't stand these motherfuckers, man. Hey, shout out to y'all. Y'all have elevated back to my top tier. Can't stand you fucking fans. Y'all are right back there. So you did.
They always been number one for me, man. I keep telling people I hate
all this bullshit. When we beat your ass, they better. Da, 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 da. Line that shit up again, bro. No, nobody's scared. Nobody on this side is scared. We playing better too. But anyway, yeah, fuck y'all. Shout out to the rest of the squad that wasn't here tonight, man. Appreciate y'all pulling up. We'll be back soon. Peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.